The epistle appointed to be read for this, the third Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from the first epistle of St. Peter. Beloved, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in the time of visitation. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be sober, be watchful. For your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering befalls your brethren all over the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory in Christ Jesus, will himself, after we have suffered a little while, perfect, strengthen, and establish us. To him is the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from St. Luke. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At that time, the publicans and sinners were drawing near to him to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." But he spoke to them this parable, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the desert and go after that which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. And on coming home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my sheep that was lost.' I say to you that even so, there will be joy in heaven over one sinner who repents, more than over 99 just who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 drachmas, if she loses one drachma, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the drachma that I had lost.' Even so, I say to you, there will be joy among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Thus, for this Sunday's Holy Gospel. There is nothing, my beloved people, in the bulletin today, in the announcement section, that needs any particular attention. Therefore, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My beloved people, I would like to begin this morning by looking back to last Sunday. Last Sunday, of course, we gave honor to the Most Blessed Sacrament, our Lord in the Blessed Eucharist. And even though it was curtailed because of the weather, and as I remarked last time, it does appear that Almighty God wants us to stay in the house, because every time we plan something for outside, he says no. But even though we stayed in the house, it was no less beautiful. It was no less awesome, and I hope no less edifying. You will remember that as the priest was giving out communion, things began to change slightly at the altar. And the altar was beginning to become ablaze with glory. All the candles were lit. Everything was perfect. Everything was beautiful. Everything was awesome. Then the priest put the Blessed Sacrament in the monstrance and had it on the altar. There were still books and cards and chalice and all kinds of things on the altar yet. Little by little, these things began to disappear. And there was a movement around and about the altar. And we all were busy noticing the movement. Then it came the time for all the ministers to leave, to go to the sacristy, and to prepare for benediction, which followed. And our blessed Lord was on the altar all by himself. And did you not notice that something happened at that moment? To me, at least, and I feel sure that to everybody here, it seems that something came and settled upon us. And did you not notice that you forgot all the candles and the flowers and the this and the that and the other? Did you not notice that your attention became focused on a little something that was bread, or rather that looked like bread, and your attention stayed focused on that, and everything else became unimportant? Did you not notice that? And you saw something. You thought your eyes saw something. Your eyes didn't see it, because it could not be seen with your eyes. But your heart saw something that was beyond description. And with the eyes of your faith, it saw Almighty God. Did you not notice that? My beloved people, Our faith is the jewel that we have to protect no matter what. Our blessed Lord himself was concerned about that when he said, "When I come back, will I find any faith?" Now, at that point, I want to stress something which I think needs stressing, perhaps not to us, but for wherever. Our blessed Lord did not ask, when I come back. Will there be any mass? I fear that in wherever, there is the tendency for some of us to say, some of us to teach, some of us to think, some of us to believe. And so we say, well, all I'm looking for is the Mass and the sacraments. If I have the Mass and the sacraments, that's all that's important. I'm completely satisfied. I have the Mass, I have the sacraments. Period. The Mass and the sacraments are not an automatic passport to heaven. The Mass and the sacraments, without my good work or works, the Mass and the sacraments, without my good works, my dearest people, the Mass and the sacraments without good works are dead. And what are the good works? Prayer, penance, mortification, sacrifice, and, above all things, internal change. Something has got to happen to me because I go to the Mass and receive the sacraments. And if something does not happen to me, then I have received nothing. I can put on all the piety, all the faith and belief and goodness and purity and everything else, all the virtue. And I go to the Mass and receive the sacraments, but my beloved people, that doesn't mean that I am pious or holy or religious or whatever. It doesn't mean that I have faith. I have to be faith. It doesn't mean that I am pious. I have to be pious. It doesn't mean that I am humble, or that I give the appearance of humility. That means nothing. I have to be humble. My very being has to be humble. And the same with love. And I don't go around showing off my faith. And people say, oh, how he believes. Or my humility. Oh, look how humble he is. Or look how pious he is. Look how anything. that he is. I believe we have a little problem outside, I'm not sure, but I think someone is not feeling well. It's being attended to. My beloved people, if there's someone who knows some God side, please, Michelle. My beloved people, we keep coming back, we can't help but going back to that poor, poor Pharisee in the temple. And the publican in the temple. The Pharisee had piety written all over him. He wore the most expensive silks and satins of piety that he could possibly put on himself. And his humility was absolutely awesome. And his faith was terrific, and his love. He was a very proper man. Everything about him was proper. Everything was perfect. He did not do anything. He was a gentle person. Everything about him was absolutely wonderful. And the gold and the satin and the glitter of his virtue was to be seen by every man. Then he was rejected. And the poor old sinner, the one little sheep that was lost in today's gospel, the poor little sinner, whose unworthiness was, his feeling of unworthiness was so great that he could not get, but just hardly passed the door of the temple. And the rags of his unworthiness, he was completely covered with rags and the sores of his sin, and everything about him was one that proper people would have nothing to do with. And that little sinner grabbed hold with a grip that he wouldn't turn loose of the mercy of Almighty God, and he got it. We talk of Nazareth very often. We talk of the Conversio very often. We want to go to Nazareth. We like the idea of going to Nazareth. And we go to the door of Nazareth and we knock. And we see therein three. Jesus, Mary his mother, and Joseph, his foster father. How do we fit amongst these people, these ones? What kind of religious perfection do we show these people? When we are truly, as the poor little publican was true, in our virtue. I'm slightly distracted this morning because of what's going on outside, so please forgive me if I stumble. A virtuous person is a person that draws us to himself. He doesn't push us away. He isn't stiff and stolid and cold and highly perfect in his propriety. He is warm. And the very warmth that is in him, where does he get his warmth when he is truly virtuous? From whence his warmth? But from God himself. And it's a contagious warmth. The very opposite of what we read about in today's epistle, that the devil goes about roaring all the time, seeking somebody to devour. We want to be like the Blessed Mother. We want to be, we wish to be, we desire to be. We read all about her. We get books, 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 and more books, and then still go after more books and read about the Blessed Mother. And we know everything there is to be known about the Blessed Mother. But we're not like the Blessed Mother. Why is that? We read all the libraries about Jesus Christ and what Jesus Christ expects of us. And for goodness sake, he did not expect from us anything that was difficult, unreachable, or impossible. Not at all. We know everything that is to be known about him, everything, everything, and it all resides in our minds, in our minds. But why aren't we more like him? Why? What is it that keeps us from it? My beloved people, and the same thing can be said about St. Joseph. St. Joseph, a wonderful man, the strongest man really that probably ever walked around. Did you ever see St. Joseph angry? Did you ever see St. Joseph pitch a fit? St. Joseph was meek, and there was meekness in him. Jesus Christ was meek. He was meekness itself. He didn't have to speak of his meekness. He didn't have to tell of his meekness. But the angry man who knows only anger, his anger does to him as fire does to a piece of iron. It is, he's angry. He doesn't feel it, but he's angry. And if you took his anger away from him, he'd probably go see a doctor to see what was wrong with him. Because anger is me. Pride is me. And so on. But my beloved people, is this what it's all about? When you were here last Sunday, just for those brief moments when everything was quiet and everything was still and there was no movement and all there was in front of you was the little host, Didn't you feel beautiful? Your pride at that moment was gone. Your anger was gone. A lot of other things were gone because you were completely absorbed. You were obsessed with Him who is love. My dearest people, I'm not saying about this about us, but I'm just speaking generically. Whoever and wherever this may have happened to, wherever, whoever, however, no doubt. But why is it that the minute that our feet touch the threshold of the church, leaving the church, why is it that we became our usual beautiful selves? And started snapping at anybody and everybody that approached us. Why? We don't put on meekness and take it off and hang it on the wall. We don't put on piety, take it off and hang it on the wall. Either we are pious or holy or whatever, or we are not. It's as simple as that. Now this does not mean that we have to go about and our whole demeanor at our work or wherever, because all of us, every one of us, has to go out and labor in the marketplace. And the marketplace is not a place to be desired. We have no choice but to go to the marketplace every morning, and every morning. But there's one thing that you can do in that marketplace, my dear ones. You can control the things that are uncontrollable in the marketplace when all you have to do is change your motive. That's all. And your motive is to love God. That's it. No matter what happens in the marketplace, that love of God will permeate the problem, and you will go home acceptable. If only we could see and feel more clearly how beautiful the love of God is. We speak so much of love here, and as I've said before, I'm not speaking of affection. I'm speaking of love. And there's only one thing that is in the mind of the lover, and that is the pleasure of the beloved. That should be the only thing in our minds, the pleasure of our beloved, Jesus Christ. And so now, if these big feast days are done and over, and as I don't to say, but it has to be said because it's a reality. The big countdown now begins. This is today, the third Sunday after Pentecost, and before long, it will be the 21st Sunday after Pentecost, and guess what? Come Christmas. So now we begin to prepare, do we not? My beloved people, love God. Forget everything else. Live your lives. And as someone said once upon a time, if you love God, You can go and do anything else you wish. That's a powerful statement, but needs to be understood. Because if you love God, you cannot do. You simply, there is no force that can make you do. That which would hurt him. Let's say a Hail Mary right quick and say that everything is all right outside. Would you please? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost. May Almighty God bless him, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you, my beloved people.